Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
The air was hot and heavy, and the temperature high, and the humidity hovered at around the 100% mark. A young politician, longer on rhetoric than good sense, droned on and on, wiping beads of perspiration from his forehead as he jabbed the air with a finger and took his handkerchief to dab his forehead. Finally, he raised his voice to an unprecedented pitch, and he said, "I speak not for this generation, but for the generations to come." Taking it no longer, an expectant mother jumped to her feet, headed for the door, as she said, "Yeah, and if you don't finish your speech real soon, this next generation will be here before you're done." There is something to be said for brevity. In 136 Hebrew words, God gave the Ten Commandments. In fewer than 1,000 words, you can have the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, the Hippocratic Oath, the sonnet by Shakespeare, the preamble to the Constitution, the Boy Scout Oath, and Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Quite a contrast to the fact that the average person lets loose more than 18,000 words every day. In my file is a brief poem sent to me by an anonymous friend who wrote the words of a prayer that could well perhaps be prayed by many of us. The friend penned these words, "O Lord, keep me from being too talkative. Spare me from thinking that I have to express my opinion on every topic that comes up. Help me not to think I can solve everyone else's problems. Let me be helpful, but not bossy. Lord, I have so much wisdom and experience, it seems a shame not to share it. But you know, Lord, I need a few friends left too." Amen and amen. There is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. So wrote the author of Ecclesiastes in the Bible, and knowing the difference distinguishes one who possesses real wisdom from one who doesn't. Knowing when to offer advice and counsel and when to keep your mouth closed is a talent that could well be sought after by more and more people. God, give us the gift of listening as well as the gift of speaking. There's a time to speak and a time to remain silent. In my file is a letter that was penned by a friend who spoke for so many when she wrote, "I am one of those who cannot control myself when it comes to saying what is true to a person. There are times I am brutally frank. I know the truth is bitter, but my greatest defect is to tell the person what wrong he has done which he ought not to do. Is it unchristian?" If you find that it's easy to give unsolicited advice, ask yourself a few questions. Do you know when you are wrong, or do you have to be told by others? Do you appreciate advice or counsel when you don't ask for it? How do you respond when others tell you what you already know? And you have answered your own question. To the Ephesians, Paul wrote, "Speak the truth in love." And it is the last phrase, "in love," that demands sometimes we learn to remain silent. All that you say may be true, but when it isn't spoken in love, save your breath and the feelings of another. Remember, friend, before you speak, you are the master of your words, but once you have spoken, they become the master of you. By your words, said Christ, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Many a politician has put his foot in his mouth, thinking that the microphone was off when it was really on. Yes, Lord, help us to learn that there is a time to speak and a time to remain silent and a time to know when to do each.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.